Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for sitting through all these talks. So my group's been focusing on these optical sensors. Amir's got a poster looking at MUMS. Randy gave that talk earlier, looking at several of the bedding plants as well. The one thing that I noticed with doing this kind of research is that the variability between taking the sensor samples, using the sensors, and also taking the leaf sampling methods as well. So that's generally trying to correlate back the leaf nitrogen concentration back to these sensor measurements. So that's kind of what this study, it's a small study, that's what it focused on. I used ornamental kale, or ornamental cabbage, which is pretty similar to ornamental kale. Basically, it's just differences in the leaves, whether it's smooth leaves or whether it's the fringed leaves. Pretty important floriculture crop for fall production, and it's considered a moderate fertilizer feeder for it. About 150 to 300 parts per million nitrogen. You can use liquid feed, or you can use a slow-release fertilizer as well. And so for any crops, again, it's important to know what your nutrient levels are. So monitoring those, because you don't want to apply too much. You're wasting money in that case, as well as you can have runoff and large production. And ultimately, what I've seen in research is that if you apply too much nutrients, you can actually decrease plant quality as well. Okay, so there's different ways of monitoring this. We've talked about it in the talks here today, as far as you can look at the soil, the nutrients in the soil itself, through the EC, doing the pour through method. You can also take leaf samples. Randy had touched on that as well, that you send those samples in. What our lab charges is about $8 a sample to run those samples. Plus, it takes about 2 weeks to get back. With floriculture crops, it's pretty short-term crops, pretty quick turnarounds. So by the time that you send those samples in, get them back, and whether we're able to correct the nutrients or not. So you saw with her, some of her research, that trying to adjust that or correct that nutrient factor about halfway through and weren't able to necessarily get all the way up to the best treatments again. So again, pretty costly, time consuming. So the other talk talked about on the EC side of things. And so ultimately looking at these optical sensors is a way to monitor the nutrient status. You can get instant values pretty quickly. So the common one, which we've seen here, the theme is the SPAD meter. It's been well correlated with agronomic crops and horticulture crops as well. In 2003, Westerville even showed that with cabbage, it was correlated with leaf nitrogen concentration. And in our lab, Yuen Wang reported that NDVI and SPAD as optical sensors could be used for greenhouses to correlate in geraniums as well. So they talked a little bit about NDVI as well. So that's reflectance, and SPAD is referring to absorbance. The SPAD meter here, and so I'm showing two different meters here. That's what I was looking at for this study. The SPAD, again, is pretty common. A lot of talks about it. But this newer one is this AtLeaf meter. Has anyone seen it or use it? Okay, so a couple of people. So with it, again, it's just, we're still looking at cost on it. The SPAD meter, a little over $2,000. This AtLeaf is just a little over $200. Pretty similar meters. Again, with a SPAD, it clamps on to the leaf. The AtLeaf, you slide this leaf in that middle part, or this up, or the tip of that sensor there. Pretty similar wavelengths you can see here with the SPAD. It's about 650 nanometer, whereas the AtLeaf is at the 660 measure. So anyway, just kind of looking at these two sensors, both chlorophyll sensors. Sensor location, whenever you look in the literature, and even what I've seen within our group, it's pretty inconsistent on where they're sampling within the plant canopy, which we've seen with some of the talks address that as well, that we saw. And then also, and so that's important. So they even found it in agronomic crops with corn, that the leaf nitrogen concentration varies within the plant. And also the sampling methods. Okay, so it's important to have some kind of sampling method that's going to be consistent, that represents a complete sample. So going with that, the objective of this was to look at looking at sensor locations within a leaf. So the earlier talk was looking at different differences in the canopy. This is within a single leaf, whether looking at just the tip, the blade, which would be the middle part of the leaf, or the base of the leaf. And then as far as taking leaf nitrogen concentrations within the leaf, on how that varies, whether you use a single plant or you use multiple plants and bulk those. And then at the end, we want to see that, okay, if we combine those with the sensors and the sampling methods, which one showed the best correlations. So again, we used ornamental cabbage, Tokyo Red. They're put in 6-inch pots, used Metro Mix media, and natural photo period. So this is 65 degrees during the day, 70 at night. And then the control release fertilizer was a 16-9-12 Osmocote Plus. And so I set that up at 0, 5, 10, and 15 grams top dress application. As far as the spat readings, well, I did 10 samples per leaf, and this was over a 5-week period. And so then within the leaf, you can see the picture up here, kind of how I broke up the leaf. You can see that the tip, the base, the tip, the blade, and then the base, and then I didn't use the petiole piece there, the bottom part of it. And then at the end of the study, I also collected information on height, width, and dry weight, just to kind of see. It's not really, wasn't per se a nutrient study, but since I'm going ahead and going through the different nutrient treatments on it, just we'll see if there's differences with the height and width and so forth. As far as taking the leaf measurements itself, again, this pretty much varies in the literature, but I wanted to look at just taking from a single plant about 8 to 10 leaves, that's the middle of the canopy, taking 3 leaves from 5 plants, or taking 3 leaves from 10 plants, or just looking at the tip portion, the blade portion, or the base. And again, that's going to correlate back with where I specifically took those sensor readings. Ultimately, it'd be best if you could take it from, if you only needed one plant to sample from. So as a grower, you don't want to grow 10 extra plants in order to have to take your leaf samples, or whether you need to combine multiple plants. So that's what I was kind of looking at there. As far as the statistics, well, it was a completely randomized design. In the greenhouse, used linear mixed models. We looked at the correlations at the end for the SPAD and the at leaf, as well as the different sampling methods, and I'll show that. So everything's reported at the 0.05 confidence level. Getting into some of the results. So this is looking at the SPADs. So there's no interactions on any of the main effects, but as far as the main effects themselves, there was significance. So looking at the fertilizer treatments, sensor leaf location, but there was no significance with weeks for the SPAD. You'll see it with at leaf. So as far as the fertilizer treatments, you can see anything that had fertilizer was significantly different than the control, which is good. And then as far as the leaf sample location, you can see for SPAD that the tip and the blade actually had higher values, and that was significantly different than taking it from the base itself. And again, the weeks were not significant. When we looked at the at leaf sensor, similar things here, main effects, fertilizer was significant, sensor location was significant, and weeks in this case was also significant. You can see there that the 30-day treatment was significantly different than the 25-day treatment, but not significantly different than any of the other treatments. As far as the fertilizer treatment, similar that we saw with SPAD, anything that had fertilizer was significantly different than the control, but not significantly different among the different treatments. In this case, looking at the sensor leaf position here, you can see that these are all significantly different. So whether you took it from the tip, the blade, or the base, it did make a difference. So then, since the fertilizer treatments weren't significant, I thought I'd go ahead and throw this in there as well. This shows a picture of the different treatments. Starting on the left is the 0, 0, 5, 10, and 15 grams of that controlled release fertilizer. You can see here that the height and dry weight for the 10 and 15 grams, those were significantly different than any of the other treatments, whereas the width is 5, 10, and 15 were significantly different than the control, but not significantly different among themselves. Okay, so the sensor wasn't able to separate out the different treatments, but at the end you can see that fertilizer did affect plant growth. And as far as the leaf nitrogen concentration, so again, looking here at the fertilizer, this is usually my research doesn't turn out this good, but there's a nice linear trend there that as you increase the fertilizer, the leaf nitrogen concentration increased. As far as the sampling method, in this case, just taking samples from the tip or the blade, those were had the highest leaf nitrogen concentrations, and those are significantly different than any other sampling method. However, all the other sampling methods were not significantly different. So whether I took samples from a single plant, 5 plants, or 10 plants, it didn't really matter. And then as far as weeks here, again, you can see that the leaf nitrogen concentration was highest the first couple of weeks, significantly different than any of the other weeks, which is what we expect as the plant ages, the photosynthetic capacity decreases. This table here is looking at the correlations between the sensor readings and leaf nitrogen. The one thing to note is up here, the only thing that was not significantly different was this one for the SPAD tip and taking it with from taking leaf samples from a single plant. Everything else showed significance. You can see, though, that some of the R values were kind of low. So ultimately, for the SPAD, how should you take those leaf samples in order to show the higher correlations. That's what we could see here with this red line going across here. And taking the SPAD readings at the base was the best. It didn't matter as far as the sampling procedure, whether you had taken it from the tip, the blade, the base, which are a little bit harder to take those kind of samples because you need more of those samples in order to have a sample to submit. And then as far as the at-leaf sensor, we can see here, it's going right here, these two, it didn't really matter whether you took your readings from the tip or the blade. And as far as correlating that, it didn't matter on the on which leaf sampling method that you actually did. The blue values down here at the end, let's look at correlations among all the different sampling methods, whether you had single plant, multiple plants. Again, all those pretty high R values, 0.8, 0.9, showed really good significance among those. So it really didn't matter. The purple values up here is looking at the sensors themselves, again, showing R values about 0.7 or 0.8, so showing very high correlations between those two sensors. So again, they just differed in a slight bit of that wavelength on what they're actually measuring. The big difference is on the price of those things. Both really easy to use. Put the leaf in there, push a button, and it gives you instant values pretty quick. So as far as the discussions, again, it didn't matter as far as sensors, where that position was on the leaf. And again, this correlates, or this is shown in the literature, that because the leaf, the chlorophyll distribution can differ in a leaf. It depends on abiotic factors, the light, the age of the leaf. So this is pretty consistent with the literature. And also, this was seen in pine needles as well. So the distribution within a pine needle of leaf chlorophyll content or concentration can vary as well. So either sensor could be used for correlations, though the SPAD did show higher correlations. And again, these both sensors were correlated with each other. And again, because taking these leaf samples are destructive and it takes up a lot of space, what I found was that you can just take it from a single plant was sufficient. 0 and 5 grams, again, this wasn't a nutrient study per se, but again, those showed deficiencies in that picture. That's why it's kind of purple, kind of a grayish tint to them. So that's not enough nutrients. So unlike other floriculture crops, with ornamental cabbage and kale, you want to keep the fertilizer at high nitrogen values through coloring. Most of the floriculture crops, you want to cut that back towards the end, but ornamental cabbage is different. And my last point here is that since this was only one species and one cultivar, this should be replicated to see if this applies to other plants and other crops and other chlorophyll sensors as well, and data collection times. And that's it.
Thank you. We have time for some questions. Do you have any questions? Yes, please.
For sweet corn, where do you want to take this pad and
I think it said it was in the middle of the leaf. That's generally what the recommendations are for most of these sensors. If you look in the literature, it tells you middle of the canopy, middle of the leaf.
Okay, so you were saying that if this correlated with the base, it's not such a
Well, that's what this research indicates, but again, it's just one plant, and so I don't know if that is what the whole industry should change based on this. But it was interesting to find that, and so based on whenever we looked at the leaf concentrations, the leaf nitrogen concentrations, the base had the lower values, and so whether the higher values are just saturated, and because that's in the literature as well, that SPAD can get saturated. So whether it's saturated and not showing good correlations, so maybe it's actually the base of it is better. But most of the literature out there tells you to take it from the middle of the leaf, or take multiple readings is one way to get around just taking from one, either the tip, the middle, or the base.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks.